Welcome to the Cat Clayton Mysteries. Do you enjoy mystery novels? Are you in the mood for some small town shenanigans? Or maybe you're on a road trip and looking for something to listen to. Either way, I am glad that you've tuned in. Think Murder, She Wrote, mixed with Legally Blonde in small town Texas. So, sharpen those sleuthing skills and let's solve some mysteries. Try to say that five times real fast. Oh, and a disclaimer. Like the dog in the books, my Chihuahua, Cuff, likes to be heard. And since he sits in my lap while I record, you may hear occasional puppy whining, a yip, or other doggy noises. Now, get cozy, and let me tell you a few stories. Last week, we left off with Steely on her way to meet with Kaylee to make amends for her behavior at dinner the other night. Does Kaylee forgive Steely? Let's find out. How to Leash a Thief, Book 1, Chapter 9. The aromas of freshly baked bread and pot roast engulfed me when I entered the cafe. My stomach rumbled. I spotted Kaylee already seated at a table in the room's corner. I joined her. We munched on warm bread from a basket while we ordered salads and iced tea. We made small talk until our plates arrived. "I want to apologize for the other night," Kaylee said, picking out the julienne carrot slivers from her salad. She lined them up on the side of her plate. Dressed in a purple tennis skirt and a white polo, her makeup appeared pristine. I guessed she'd scheduled her tennis lesson for after our lunch. I stared at her in disbelief. "Kaylee, no, I shouldn't have opened my big mouth," she said, her face lined with guilt. "You had an awful day, and you were probably still in shock. I had no right to interfere with you and Nick." "Nothing about this mess is your fault," I said. "I'm the one who entered a crime scene before they cleared it, even if it is my shop. I should know better. I am the one who sneaked to the field to see the burned truck and ended up with a dead body in my shop. I am the one who's now being stalked by some killer creeper. It was me who got Nick in trouble, not Brandon, and certainly not you." My hands trembled as I took a swallow of sweet iced tea.
"Shh, keep your voice down."
Kaylee surveyed the town eyes upon us. "They'll talk. You know they will." She studied me, pushing her plate to the side. Setting her elbows on the table, she rested her chin on her fists, leaning close to me. "Honey, you're more like family to me than a friend, so apology accepted. Now, what is this about you being stalked? Is Nick aware of this?"
"Well, not yet," I said, and told her the little I knew about the guy.
"I can't seem to keep my nose out of trouble lately. I am a complete mess. Mama always seemed to keep my butt in line, but now that she's..." I had a tough time spitting the word out. "Gone, I feel so lost." Kaylee reached across the table, resting her hands on mine. "Sugar, it's only been a short time since you lost your mom. You're still grieving. Cut yourself some slack." She gave me a reassuring look and squeezed my hands. "But I'm encouraging you to come clean with Nick about all of this. Whoever is harassing you is dangerous, and I don't want you to get hurt." She was right.
"I know, and I will tell him," I said. "I'm so sorry about ruining dinner. It rattled me to the core to find Flora dead, and the wine hit me hard." I shrugged.
"It's okay, sweetie. All's forgiven. Let's forget the whole thing," she said with one of her sugary smiles. "Now, tell me how it's going over at the shop." Shortly after, we parted our ways with a promise that I'd appear at our parents' annual 4th of July party in a few days.
As I walked away from her truck, my skin broke out in goosebumps. Glancing around, I found the reason. Leaning against the outside brick wall of the J&L dime store, a tall man in a straw cowboy hat pulled down low over his face seemed to be watching me from across the road, his hands shoved in the front pockets of his dark jeans. I sucked in a breath and froze. Flashbacks from the bank robber hit me like a ton of bricks. Just as I was about to turn and run, Soren exited the drugstore and joined the man. What the heck? She gave me a friendly wave as the man tipped the hat back on his head. It was Seth Welton. Feeling relieved, I tossed up a little wave myself. Seth tipped his hat in my direction and then pushed away from the wall. The two of them, arm in arm, strolled in the opposite direction. I shook off the heebie-jeebies and headed back to the shop. I'd only made it about 2 blocks when I heard a low, grumbling motor behind me, slowly approaching. I turned and saw the black Buick from last night beside me on the road. I panicked and dove to my left, which was headfirst into an overstuffed clothes rack in front of Gypsy Seams, a boho clothing boutique. Lucky for me, they were having a sidewalk sale. I scrambled between the hanging clothes like a 2-year-old, weaseling my way through to the other side. Scanning the rack, I snatched a floppy straw sun hat from the up on top and pulled it down low over my head. An older woman approached and began browsing the sales rack, giving me a peculiar glance.
"Don't mind me," I said in a harsh whisper.
Incognito, I peeked out between the clearance items and noticed the black car idling at the curb directly in front of the rack, as if the car, was watching me. I shivered despite the summer heat. The car's tinted windows rolled up tight concealed the face of the driver. H-E double hockey sticks. I couldn't see a darn thing. Adrenaline bolted through my veins and I yanked the clothes on the rack back around my face. Closing my eyes, I willed the black car to disappear.
Go away. Please go away.
Excuse me, are you going to move soon? The browsing woman asked.
I was here first, I hissed.
Couldn't she see I was busy?
Well, how rude, she said, stomping into the front door of Gypsy Seams. A bell clanged as the door whooshed closed.
Crouching behind the rack, I pretended to browse, flipping through the hanging items, looking at nothing in particular except a blur of colored fabric. The motor roared as the driver revved the engine. My heart skipped a beat when the tires squealed and the car peeled out. Well, that was close. I forced my wobbly legs to move forward.
Hey, you, stop right there,
I heard a female voice shout behind me. I halted in my tracks and slowly turned around. The shop owner, Miss Stella, stabbed her hips with bangled fists. All jingle and jangle, she barked at me, her broom skirt flowing.
Are you going to pay for that?
Oops. I patted my head. The hat. Unless I wanted the police department called on me, I'd better go give it back. I removed the hat, jogging towards her, my hair crackling with static.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Well, are you going to buy it?
I handed her the floppy hat. Oh no, sorry, I don't care for the way it fits. Miss Stella snatched the hat, frowning.
I should have called the... Wait a minute. Aren't you that Lamar girl?
I nodded. Yes, I'm Steely Lamar. Nice to meet you. I extended my hand. Her untamed jet-black hair billowed in the sultry breeze as fierce green eyes stared into my soul. I guessed she wasn't much of a handshaker, and I dropped my hand.
You're supposed to be one of the citizens on the watch, people.
She pointed a bony finger in my direction.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry for the trouble, I said.
Before she could put a hex on me, my cell phone buzzed in my pocket.
Look, I wasn't trying to steal the hat, but I've got to take this. Again, I'm sorry.
I turned on my heels and strode down the sidewalk. I answered my cell.
Hello?
What are your plans this evening?
Nick asked. It took me a second to gather my wits.
Only plan is the COW meeting. Why? What's up?
We need to talk.
His tone was cool, his speech curt. Okay. This didn't sound good. Hey, I had lunch with Kaylee and we patched things up. Maybe whatever he was feeling would change if he knew I'd made amends. I crossed my fingers and said a prayer to whoever was listening. That's not what I want to talk about. When are you going to be home?
I can be home by 7.
See you then.
I tried adding a I love you, but he disconnected before I spit the words out.
Two old-timers sitting on the bench under the awning of the barbershop looked up as I approached. I knew them from the COW, although we weren't exactly friends. Donnie Thomas rode an old-fashioned bicycle around town with a gaudy wire basket on the front, lined and filled with soil. Inside, a tiny vegetable garden flourished. The bicycle rested against the brick wall, a plant with curled tendrils and huge yellow blossoms spilled over the basket's edge. Both men sneered in my direction. Bill Evans, the other gentleman holding a cane, shook a crooked finger at me as I passed. Apparently, they're not Steely fans.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, I said, smiling.
They gawked, whispering. I considered returning their scowls with a dirty look, but then thought better of it. Save yourself the embarrassment and keep walking. You've got bigger problems besides these old-timers. A dreadful wailing greeted me when I stepped inside the shop. Daniel was howling along with one of our clients in the back washroom. Elvis must be in the house. His owner stood on his tiptoes under the wall-mounted TV, with his right ear stretched up toward the small speaker.
I can't hear a darn word with those three carrying on back there.
Elvis's owner, a pudgy man with a quivering turkey neck, peered at me and then turned his attention back to the afternoon news.
There's something else, aren't they? I said, heading for the counter.
What's that you say? He turned, cupping his right ear. Heard you've had yourself some trouble around here.
Well, I didn't want to be rude and tell him to turn his hearing aid up, so I smiled and yelled back.
Yes, yes, we have. But the police department is doing their best. No worries.
Ignoring his skeptical glance, I strode into the groom room. Sitting on the floor, up on his hindquarters, Elvis, the large basset hound, begged for the dog treat in Daniel's hand, his front paws rowing in circles. Cuff perched on the grooming table. All three bayed as if it was a full moon, their howls filling the room. I cleared my throat behind them. Daniel whirled around, dropping the treat on the floor.
Oh, I didn't know you were back.
His face flushed with embarrassment. Sorry. Cuff and I were teaching Elvis a new trick. Elvis snatched the peanut butter biscuit off the floor, devouring it in one swallow. He barked, sounding more like a death wail than a bark. I smiled. That's why I love you. I can't speak for the rest of this town, though. He gasped, his hand flying to his mouth.
Oh, my God, were we that loud?
Well, don't step on my behalf. I moseyed back to my office to finish up some paperwork, and Daniel returned their singing partner back to his rightful owner. Then he and I discussed the grieving widower, and I informed him what I'd learned earlier in front of the bakery. We added the latest details to our list on the chalkboard. Daniel wanted to scratch Mr. Shermack from the list, but I convinced him otherwise. That afternoon, we'd gotten 3 additional cancellations for the following day. Things were going south for Scrub-a-Dub, and fast. Please don't let this shop suffer from my mistakes. As I flipped over the close sign, Sadie Westerfield and Trudy Baranowski barged into the front door of the shop. They had matching eyelash extensions, thick layered makeup, big, bumpet hair, flashy clothing, and were both smacking their bubblegum. The only difference between them was their choice of lipstick. One, a gaudy scarlet, the other, flamingo pink.
There are some rumors flying around town about you, Steely, they said in a breathless unison.
Oh, I bet there are, I said.
No, I mean really nasty rumors, Trudy said, batting her thick eyelashes.
Sadie nodded, her big bumped hair in agreement.
It's the God's honest truth.
Sadie and Trudy were both hairstylists at Trudy's Salon, the best little hair house in Texas, a.k.a. Gossip Central. I'd bet on my life. Mrs. Peacock walked in there yesterday and told them everything she'd overheard in here.
Y'all wouldn't know the truth if it came up and bit y'all in the butt. However, if you're interested in the facts, I didn't kill Flora, I said, without skipping a beat. They both gasped.
A plus on the shock factor, Chiquita.
Cuff stretched out on the floor. He began snoring within a few seconds. He popped one eye open.
I don't snore.
I flipped on the coffee maker I'd prepped earlier in the room's corner. In a matter of minutes, the aroma of snickerdoodle cookies filled the room.
Oh, don't pretend to be so shocked. I gave them the old one-eyebrow smirk. You both know I got caught upstairs at the murder scene, and me getting shot at was so yesterday's news. The entire freaking town knows I found Shermack's body here because it made the paper, and I'm a suspect, which is ludicrous. Everyone knows I didn't kill her. Sadie slapped a hand over her mouth.
So cold, Trudy said. I do declare, Steely, you don't have to be so snippy.
I do declare? What are we casting for the Texas version of Steel Magnolias? I thought. No one's being cold or snippy, Trudy, only stating the facts.
We've got a concealer that's to die for, Steely. It really helped that bruise over your eye, Sadie said.
I stroked the spot above my eyebrow. I had no retort. It did look awful.
Welcome, ladies. Nice to see y'all, Daniel said, batting his long, dark eyelashes.
I was sure that he dug through my handbag and borrowed my mascara. With a smile plastered on her fake, baked face, Trudy studied Daniel head to toe.
Oh, Daniel, you must share your conditioning secrets with us.
Daniel wagged a finger. A good stylist never gives away his secrets.
Sorry, darling. Coffee, anyone?
Both women turned down the coffee as the other COW members strolled in. Mr. Peters, Kit Fisher from the bank, Bill Evans and Donnie Thomas, who snubbed me earlier, and my pop. Good old pop. Only missing member was Mrs. Shermack.
Welcome, everyone. There's coffee for those of you who want it. Let's get started.
I motioned for them to take their seats in the waiting room.
So, first on the list...
Mr. Peters cleared his throat loudly.
Aren't you going to say something about Flora?
His eyebrows knitted together as he glared at me.
I didn't care for the woman, but she was part of this community.
Gah, if looks could kill. But he was right. Flora Shermack was a dedicated member of the COW. I guess I owed it to her and the group to say something.
But what did one say at a time like this?
Cuff stood up, getting my attention by whining.
Repeat after me, Chiquita.
He parked himself on his haunches and closed his eyes.
Oh, dear Lord, this is going to be good.
Our death should not be a sad, mournful journey to our grave.
I closed my eyes, cleared my throat, and recited Cuff's thoughts.
But rather a sideways skid, hostess cupcake in one hand, a martini in the other. Body thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and squealing, woohoo, what a ride.
I repeated his words verbatim.
Wait, did I say sideways, kid? What a ride?
Oh, boy. I kept my eyes shut, hoping I'd get sucked into oblivion.
Chiquita, it would have been better than what you had in mind.
Well, he had a point. I didn't even have a clue what to say.
Then... by some miracle, someone clapped. I peeked to find everyone's shocked faces gaping at me. Pop looked like he had awful indigestion, and Daniel grinned, clapping.
Well said, Steely. Thank you for those colorful and insightful words.
Give her a hand, folks. Pop raised an eyebrow and put his hands together. With great hesitation, the others followed his lead.
You think that the martini part was too much, Chiquita?
Well, it's too late now, little buddy. I winked at him. As I was about to sit down and get the Citizens on the Watch meeting started, Chief Becker barged straight through the front door like he owned the place. A hulk of a man. Even the energy swirling around him was a force.
Evening, folks.
Chief Becker said, removing his straw Stetson. Sorry for the interruption, but I've got some bad news.
He gave me a sideways glance.
He nodded at my pop. Randall?
Paul,
Pop said, crossing his arms.
What seems to be the trouble?
Chief Becker took notice of those in the room and frowned. He shoved his hands into his pockets.
I'm asking you all to pack up and go home. The mayor and I met this afternoon and decided it was best if the COW took a break for the time being.
Unfreaking believable. If Chief Becker thought that he could waltz into my shop and start throwing his weight around and that we were all going to toss up our hands and surrender, he had another thing coming.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Are you curious about what happens next? Be sure to hit subscribe and tune in next Tuesday to find out. If you're enjoying the Cat Clayton Mysteries podcast, I would appreciate if you would rate and review so that other listeners can discover the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. Until next week, stay happy and sleuth on, my friends.